They say a picture paints a thousand words. And those of us that went to Spokesman's Club always used to say, grab the attention of the audience. Well, hopefully, I've grabbed your attention. And it's exactly about what I want to speak about. For those on the internet can't see the picture, I'm standing up here without my suit jacket. Deliberately, on purpose, to get the attention of what I want to speak about. Thank you, Mr. Henderson. The sermonette title for today is, What Garments Are We Wearing Physically and Spiritually? I know I have seen over the years people come to church in jeans and t-shirts, slacks, minister got up with slacks and a jacket to speak, and ministers without suit jackets. So that was exactly why I came up here without my suit jacket, to get the attention. But how do we come before God? Whether we are in a formal church gathering as we are here today, or as a family group gathered, or individually by ourselves around the world, remotely tuned into the broadcast. At this end time, there is the spirit of Laodicea, where people choose for themselves. So what should we wear to church? As I said, should we wear jeans and t-shirts, open collars, or as that minister I mentioned, you know, slacks and a sports jacket, getting up to speak? I know personally I've seen all of those over 50 years in the church. It's not meant to be a corrective message, just reminding us exactly why we wear our best clothes to church. To help us teach our children why, and to stay focused when we are attending, whether that be by ourselves, week in, week out, and especially if we don't have that fellowship that we crave. I want to point back to what Mr. Armstrong taught us at the end time, as our end time apostle, what he clearly showed us and what the Bible clearly shows. So I want to ask us the question today, what should we wear to church and why is it important? So, point number one, we are in the presence of our father and elder brother. Turn back please to Exodus 28. Exodus 28, because here we have the description of what the high priest had to wear when he came before our elder brother Christ in the Holy of Holies. And these garments which you shall make, you shall make a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban and a sash, so they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that they may minister to me as priest. The following verses you don't need to turn to because you know them very well and you're familiar with them, but Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And 1 John 1, verse 3, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are in the presence of God right now. And it was Christ in the very Holy of Holies into whom the high priest went wearing this very elaborate and beautiful outfit. And it is Christ who is in the midst of us right now. So God is perfect, and quality in his presence matters. And the high priest's garments had to not only be made in a very specific way, but God inspired the artisans in verse 3 to actually make them. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, who I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to sanctify him, that he may minister to me as a priest. The gifted artisans, those who were already great in their own skill set, had their skill set increased by God even further. What they made, at the end of it, they must have stood back and thought, wow, how did I make that? They obviously didn't. They were given and blessed huge amounts to be able to create these garments. I don't have time to read all of chapter 28, but I'll just read the condensed version for reference. Clothed as the Lord commanded, the high priest stood arrayed for glory and for beauty in verse 2. And upon his body was a coat of fine woven linen, verse 39. Covering also the linen, trousers from waist to thighs, verse 42. And bound about him with the embroidered sash of fine linen, blue and purple and scarlet, verse 39. Over this he wore a robe of the ephod, all of blue, verse 31, its collar reinforced so it would not tear, verse 32. And along its hem, pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet, alternating with gold bells, sounding as he moved, 33 to 35. Laid upon the robe was the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine woven linen, verse 6. Skillfully made and joined at the shoulders, verse 7. Two onyx stones set in gold bore the engraved names of the sons of Israel, verse 9 to 12. Fastened with its intricately woven band of the same work, Exodus 28, verse 8. Upon the chest rested the breastplate of judgment, a doubled square, verse 15 and 16, set with four rows of three, 12 precious stones engraved with the names of the tribes, bound securely to the ephod with gold chains and rings. And within it were placed the Urim and the Thummim over his heart before the Lord continually, verse 30. Upon his head he wore a turban of fine linen, verse 39, and fastened to its front with a blue cord was a plate of pure gold engraved with the words, Holiness to the Lord, resting upon his forehead, 36 to 38. Thus fully vested, he stood before the Lord in garments made exactly as God had commanded. This was the absolute best of the best in terms of clothing, physically possible. Skills beyond those physically possible were given to the artisans. The outfit is very specific, not only in colours, but in every detail, down to the order of the precious stones laid out in four rows of three. Now, last night, I asked AI to generate an image of what the high priest would look like. Unfortunately, AI could not get through its skull that four rows of three didn't mean three rows of four. I repeatedly told it, four rows of three. Yes, you're quite correct, I got that wrong. And again, and again, and again. It's a good job computers and AI didn't make Aaron's robes. Imagine if the artisan making the item did prefer three rows of four. Would God have accepted that as an alternative? God was totally specific in what the high priest must wear. God doesn't waver on what he requires. And no, I'm not saying, obviously, that we all have to be wearing the exact robes that we've just described. First off, we couldn't afford them, but that is not what this message is about. But what should we be wearing when we're tuned in around the world in our own homes? Mr. Armstrong, in 1984, Worldwide News on January 30th, wrote an article, How You Dress for Church, Could It Keep You Out of the Kingdom? Because at the time there were instances of people not wearing appropriate clothing. And I'm going to quote here, Are some of our members going to be kept out of the kingdom of God because of the way you dress for church services? Dropping down in the article, I say to you, brethren, I know you have not deliberately come to church services in a slouchy, unkempt appearance. Rather, you just never thought about it this way before. You do not need to go out and buy new clothes, but dress up in the best you have. God will be watching you. Notice it in Psalms 33:13-15. The Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He considereth all their works. Actually, literally, God himself does look upon you and notice how you come dressed in his presence. In church services for years, I not only wore a freshly pressed suit, but even a white shirt that was befitting and not too loud or flashy or too somber or of proper character, a necktie. In the early years of church, when I only had one pair of shoes with holy soles and one suit of clothes, I shined my shoes and got my wife's ironing board and pressed my own suit Friday afternoons before going to church services. I have always tried to honour God in the matter of personal appearance at church. If you were in England and were invited to visit the Queen at Buckingham Palace, would you go with dirty shoes and sloppy, unpressed clothes? I hardly think so. Then do you consider that God himself does not deserve even the respect that you would show the Queen of England? Mr. Armstrong was very clear in that people weren't dressing down on purpose and that you didn't have to run out and buy new clothes, but wear the best you have. So is what we wear really that important? So there are many parables and proverbs and examples in the Bible about quality. And there's one very specific one that relates to this topic, and that's in Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And it is the parable of the wedding feast. And in verse 1 and 2, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by a parable and said, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son.'" And verses 3 to 7, "Those who were invited refused to come and killed the messengers." And dropping down to verse 8, "Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" In this parable, Jesus is using the garments we wear as symbols of righteousness and unrighteousness. The lack of the wedding garment symbolized unrighteousness. People who attended church may be, in some instances, just filling the seats and not growing and overcoming as we should do, which we have seen over the last 40 years in the shattering. We may be here at present at church, but is our attitude, are the garments we're wearing, acceptable to God? The person without the wedding garment at the wedding feast was unprepared spiritually, didn't give the king, the father of the groom, the reverence deserved. They had the attitude of Laodicea, where they made the decisions of what was acceptable for themselves. So in conclusion, the physical clothing itself won't save us, but our physical clothing we wear to church reflects our attitude we have towards God and Christ. A casual and careless appearance shows a lack of reverence to God and Christ, who are present with us right now. We are in the presence of the Father and of our elder brother, the very one who came down and was in the Holy of Holies when Aaron the high priest ministered to him wearing clothing of such quality and beauty that we just read about. So just how important are the garments that we wear? Well, for the high priest, and if you turn back to Exodus 28 verse 35, I should have said keep a finger in there. Verse 35, "And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers," it's talking about the bells around the bottom of the skirt, "and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out, that he may not die." Bold, underlined in italics. You know, actually, you know what? I don't like that trinkling sound as I walk around. You know, today I'm not going to wear the bells. Wasn't quite negotiable. If the high priest didn't wear the correct garments, he would die because he was coming before Christ. When what we wear can keep us out of the kingdom, as Mr. Armstrong outlined, it is very possible. We need to make sure we don't get lax in our own homes by ourselves, to not dress up because of the fact we are fellowshipping with the very Creator ruling heaven. Yes, there are exceptions, but they're certainly not the norm. Illness could mean that you are unable to, or, you know, not somebody I've heard within the church, but in the world, you know, a burst pipe over a wardrobe, washing everybody's clothes with, you know, water that you obviously couldn't then wear the clothes. But that doesn't affect 99.9% of us. Mr. Armstrong taught people should dress up for church services. They didn't need to run out and buy an expensive suit, but they should wear the best available clothing. And they should appear neat, respectful, and appropriate. It's a visible reflection of our inner heart and mind. God sees what we're wearing, and he respects, and the respect we assign to that. He sees what's in our heart, wearing the best we have. Not going out and buying an expensive new suit if we already have a good quality suit. But if we only have jeans, then we should consider saving up in a responsible way to be able to afford a suit. And when I say a suit, I'm talking about the Western world where we are today. Not our African brothers who wear those most amazing outfits that I'm highly jealous of. You know, that is what is appropriate in that country. But here in the Western world, us gentlemen should be wearing a suit if we have it. Because our physical clothing represents our spiritual attitude and respect towards Christ and the Father. Looking forward, God has a whole wardrobe ready for us, perfectly styled and fitted properly to our perfect new bodies. For those of us who overcome, and the garments are there, hanging, ready for us to wear. They are pure white garments. Revelation 19 verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean, bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saint.